The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. And here we are grooving on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday with Dan, the man who is in Ashland. Dan, you were telling me, I don't know the whole story yet, but you had a problem with your Social Security number, and then you thought you would get this fixed by going to the Social Security office. And why don't you pick it up from there? What happened?
Well, if anyone's ever been to the Social Security office in Medford, they'll know that they have two lobbies, one inside lobby where you just come in and get inspected by the federal agent to make sure you're not carrying any contraband or weapons, mm-hmm. and then an internal lobby as well. And I walked in to the first lobby where the security agent was. He said, any weapons? And I'd already taken out a few things, but I had my Leatherman tool on my side, and I went, oh, I forgot that. Went back out to put it in the car. And waiting outside were about 15, 16 people of the Latin persuasion, all between the ages probably 20 and 25.
So 20 to 25-year-old young Hispanic males. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And two or three of them had those travel neck collars, like they had just gotten off a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all wearing brand new clothes. I mean, just, you know, the wrinkles hadn't even gotten out of them. They looked really good. They had lots of food, and they were having a great time. And it looked like they just gotten off the bus from Guadalajara.
Yeah.
But and so I went back in, and there was another 10 or so of them waiting on the inside lobby. And the security guy there, he's a real cart. He's a really nice guy. I said, what's with this? And he says, oh, future workers. And I'm going, future workers? Okay.
Future workers where is kind of what I was wondering.
Yeah, it's like future workers. And I mean, it did not appear that any of these people had ever worked in, you know, any kind of agriculture ever before in their lives. This was not their thing.
So what you were looking at then, I guess, Dan the man, is apparently this is the border policy of our current vice president, Border Czar. This is the fruit of this, apparently, right?
It would seem. These guys were really young, no women, just 20 to 23, 24-year-old males, and, you know, the prime of their life, all getting Social Security numbers.
Now, are they Social Security numbers or some other sort of immigration number that would indicate that maybe you're allowed to work here, but you're not getting a Social Security card? I don't know.
Yeah, there's the, you know, $60,000 question. What were they doing at the Social Security Administration office? To what information were they getting? And it's like, can you get a green card at the Social Security office? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. And then, of course, maybe they got the motor voter. Maybe they applied for the driver's license with this, and then they get a vote, a ballot for this fall's election.
Yeah,
you start
exactly.
I think that people are understanding why maybe a lot of folks don't have a lot of trust in that system right now. Would you say that, Dan?
Yeah, and I kind of came away from there going, this doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel right, you're probably right about that. And that's why there is certainly a choice this time around. Hopefully the cheat machine can be overcome. My question for you, though, did they take care of your Social Security problem, given that you're actually legit?
Well, I got into the inner lobby, and as anyone has ever been in there, you know, it'll probably hold 30 people. And while I was sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting,
uh-huh.
I noticed that there were several people around me who were really ill. And it's like, this doesn't feel right either. I'm in this tight, confined space with several sick people, and, you know, I'll figure it out over the phone. I'll give them a call.
Oh.
And I'll make an appointment.
Okay.
And I got the heck out of there because it was just...
Well, I'm wondering if this is because I'm thinking I have to go there too, because I'm going to make a confession here, even though I've been, you know, I'm certainly legit. I can prove my birthplace and everything else. But I haven't had a Social Security actual card, Dan, for maybe 20 years. You know?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Because, I mean, I laundered it with a wallet years ago, and, of course, it was just in tatters. I couldn't save it.
Right.
And so I'm going to have to do that. So now I know what to – so when I go to the Social Security office, I should know, okay, take out the weapons, but understand that you're probably going to see a lot of people from elsewhere just magically getting identity papers. Can't wait. All right?
Mm, yes. So, right. And if you do need to do something with Social Security, give them a call. Make an appointment over the phone. It's a lot easier than going in.
Okay. Will do. Thanks, Dan the Man. 770-5633, open phones, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. You got a pebble like his or something else? We'll talk about it next.
Cooler, cloudier, and showers likely with thunderstorms high around 68. This is Kevin Wallace for NBC 5 News, your place.
10 minutes after 7, 770-5633 on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Bad reputation, Bob Shan. He doesn't have the bad reputation. You were suggesting that should be the theme for Francine. Isn't that right, Bob?
Yeah, if you don't want it, I'll take it. But I kind of like the theme from Peter Gunn, too. So
okay, that'll be your theme.
Maybe eventually I'll get one.
Yeah, some of the regulars need to have themes. That's just the way it is. It shouldn't just be Lucretia anymore, right?
That no, kind of thing. No. Okay. Well, instead of a pebble, let's throw a pearl out there just for fun.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about your coworker in his early days of faking it till he could make it.
Yeah, that was Ron Matthews. Yeah. Ron Boutwell, who passed away on the 5th in Ashland, age of 82. Boy, he was a character when I was working at KBOY and here at KZZE.
Yeah, that's awesome. It kind of dovetailed a sparked memory of Ronald Reagan. I remember an interview sometime in the past where Ronald Reagan was in the radio business, you know, before he became an actor.
That's right.
An announcer.
That's right.
And he was calling a baseball game from the radio station. And back then, basically, they had a telephone link with somebody at the ballpark, you know, feeding him the gameplay. And, of course, the great communicator would embellish it and provide a good audio of the baseball game. Well, one day the phone lines went down. And Ronnie was, you know, on air and didn't want dead air. So he actually called an inning or two of a game that did not occur until the telephone feed came back on.
Oh, that is hilarious. I never heard that story. That's great.
Yeah,
in other words, he just faked it. He just faked it up, right?
Yeah. So he faked the game for an inning or two until his feed came back via the telephone so that he can call it over the radio station downtown. And I'll search the dark web, see if I can find an actual reference to it. So trust but verify, right?
All right. You got it, Bob. Thanks for hearing.
All right, Bill.
Good hearing from you. It's 12 minutes after 7. Let me go to Mark. Mark, you wanted to weigh in a little conversation that I was having, at least a concern I was bringing. There's this turf battle. I guess it's kind of a turf battle between the Josephine County Treasurer and the Finance Director, you know, trying to get information there. Did you have a particular take on that? I'm going to talk more with Herman about that in around 20 minutes, but let's hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he'll no doubt have a take. And my name is Mark DeYoung, actually, and I wanted you to know, Bill, I'm actually running for that position. County Treasurer on the November ballot.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I've been following the situation for quite some time. And frankly, I think what you're going to hear is there's really been a pattern of behavior here, and it's not just limited to the Treasurer and the Finance Director. I think what you're going to find is folks like the commissioners have been asking for financial documentation for some things, and for some time they've been running into stonewalling, if you will. And I really became alarmed when I saw their Zoom meeting on August 1st when the current treasurer started referring to the various bank accounts as her personal accounts and really blatantly said, I don't have to give you any of these records. These are my accounts, and you don't deserve them.
Wow.
And my background is in being a branch manager in the banking world, most recently here in Grants Pass with Wells Fargo. And I have to tell you, that was a giant red flag slapping me in the face when I heard that. It, much like your last caller just said, We do trust, but verification.
Well, yeah. You know, Mark, it just struck me as, you know, these are public records. Everything's kind of on the up and up. Why would you be upset about the county commissioners or a finance director taking a look at it? Because they're having to determine policy, too. It just now, I know that as an elected official, you can't necessarily order the elected official to do this. One can't order another one. But you would think that just out of the appearance of transparency, that would be just matter of course, right? Just what you would do.
Well, and let's think about it. This is big time money that flows through the county.
Sure.
And the taxpayers are being told you don't get to see what's going on. The system of checks and balances is there for a purpose, and there is no. And I think you'll find through the county charter and code and so forth that there actually is opportunities for oversight. And I'm not here to, you know, really go after anybody's reputation. I don't know any better, but I think you said it pretty well. You get to a point where you wonder, well, what are we hiding?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we provide all this? This is commonly what the job does.
Yeah. You provide it, and you know, if we go. So you're running for the position. Is the incumbent running too, or are you running unopposed?
Yes. No, the incumbent is running, and I think you know what's happening is that the folks are continuing to ask. Well, actually, I think this goes back to September of last year when a risk assessment was conducted and there were some deficiencies. And out of that came the need for somebody to be able to have oversight. I wouldn't want to make it a personal issue, but when there is absolutely no oversight and money is getting moved between accounts, who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's hard to all of a sudden pop up and find out that what looked like only smoke is actually a lot of fire. We never want to get to that point.
Yeah, and let's face it, the finances in Josephine County are quite strapped right now, and every penny counts for sure. Mark DeYoung.
That pushes a lot of the power struggles right now too, and this is a person that's been with the county for literally decades. And when you see the public meetings and the demeanor of the treasurer and the disrespect shown to the other people, you just sit there and wonder if it isn't time for a change. And that's why I wanted to call in, Bill.
All right, Mark, I'm glad you did. Mark DeYoung running for Josephine County Treasurer. Because my concern has been, I think, some of the power struggles going on here, in my opinion, is that you've had some long-term people who treat some positions as if it is theirs, like it is their possession. Now, I don't mind, I like people taking ownership of things like that, but everybody has a boss. Everybody has bosses, right? Nobody doesn't not have bosses. That's just the way it goes. And
well, you made a good point that, I think there's can be a certain attitude, entitlement, whatever, maybe a situation of, hey, I'm elected and I see you other people come and go all the time, but I'm still here and I get to run it the way I want to. But that's really scary when it's in a treasury position, because as I said, there's, being a bank manager, it's a risk assessment business. And that's what I'm looking at here, wondering, holy cow, this looks like a whole lot of financial risk if there's no oversight.
All right. Well, Mark DeYoung, I appreciate you coming and sharing your thoughts on this, especially that you're running against the incumbent on this one. Thanks for letting us know your take on it. Okay.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
All righty. 18 minutes after 7. If you are on hold right now and we got a full line, I want to get everybody on. I will get right to you, but it's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633. Always good conversation on The Bill Meyer Show.
This hour of The Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
We've heard it all.
Here's Bill Meyer.
It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633 to join in. Anything that happens to be on your mind. And first is Judy. Hello, Judy Ahrens. What's going on in your world today, huh?
Well, everybody's focused on the debate tonight, and I understand, Bill, but tomorrow's a very special day, a horrific day back in 2001. So tomorrow being 9/11, there are a couple items going on. One, we're getting together. I have to stop because I've been walking. We're getting together at the flagpole in front of Josephine County, and we're at 1 o'clock, and we're going to have a little get together and remembrance at for about 20 minutes at 1 o'clock. And then the other item is that the police and the firemen are going to be walking around Reinhardt Park at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So anybody wants to join them over at the baseball field at Reinhardt, they can do that too. So, and put out your flags tomorrow. Tomorrow's a good day to put out flags.
All right, will do. Hey, Judy, I was going to ask you, how has it been? How has it been playing out then? Now that street drugs have been somewhat kind of made illegal again, it's not harsh, but more than it was. Has anything changed as you've seen in your particular neck of the woods?
You know what, Brian Weldon, he still picks up. He was showing us at a meeting last week how they had picked up bags of heroin and stuff at some of the local parks. They cleaned them up, but he said still in the bushes. They're still there. So I at least I see the parks clean. You know, people can at least do that, but they can't go there and have their kids in the bushes. But I think we're getting there, you know, finally.
Good.
Yeah, I really think finally. So I think that's a good thing.
All right. I noticed that there's been a lot of concern about people, you know, being put out in the sunshine and in the heat. But I guess now we're going to be getting into cooler temperatures. And the next complaint will be that we have homeless people in the rain. But and then it's going to be homeless people in the cold. And then it's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. One way or the other. All right. Thanks, Judy. Appreciate the take on it. All right. 770-5633. All right, Lucretia, are you in the bathtub this morning, or are you elsewhere today?
Yeah,
Well, you're the only person who's ever called my talk show in the bathtub, and I thought that maybe that was even a little bit dangerous if you had a wired phone, because there is some voltage on those lines, but maybe not. What do you think?
It's fine. So I have a boulder in my shoe. I got the shock of my life. I'm still kind of just stunned by it. I was, I won't say which dealership, but I was at a car dealership yesterday. We were talking, and you know, I told him, I sent him something like the New World Order, you know, that or the Old World Order I was telling you about. He never watched it, but anyway, he is ready to kill, bomb every Republican in the country. He hates. He stood up. He got just almost violent. Scared me.
Okay, now wait a minute. This was at a car dealership in Southern Oregon. In Southern Oregon, right?
Yeah, in Ashland.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And literally, you know, he's like, he's so egotistical, but he still thinks that January 6th, there were people that had gone to protest election and, you know, support Trump had guns. Because he goes, people got killed there. And women should have the right to do what they want with their own body. And when you ask them, the only conspiracy things might be with that Oswald didn't kill Kennedy, but children aren't sex trafficked. Nobody's sex trafficked, despite one of the biggest companies in America was definitely busted for sex trafficking women and children, you know, and probably young boys too. It's, you know, and all the, you know, I've heard 500,000 to 800,000 children in America alone go missing. I don't know if that's true. But I do know it's clear they're doing it. But he just doesn't believe anything, and he's ready just to kill all Republicans.
So this guy is in a rage at the car dealership. And now is this something you just get in the conversations with everybody like this, Lucretia? Because I don't tend to do that for the most part.
No, but, you know, I did tell him, I was talking originally to him just about the planes and how they really can fly without all this gas to fly because of the technology.
So then you give him your and frankly, I think that's a little bit of a deranged theory. Okay.
That's a little bit more of extreme for the average person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's true. I mean, that's a deranged theory in my view, but it doesn't make me want to rise up and want to do physical harm to you. I would just say, I think you're wrong. So this guy, though, finding out that you're voting a little right of center and he wants to kill you or kill you or just kill Republicans in general.
All Republicans that would vote for Trump.
Wow.
Bomb him.
Man, that is now these are peaceful people, and he thinks that people brought a lot of guns. Well, about the only people I think who brought guns to January 6th, I think, were Capitol Police that shot Ashley you know.
And that other woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what's frustrating is the level of you know, the lies of the other side as far as the news. And yet, you know, that's conspiracy. That, you know, if it's not what they say, you know.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask you, did you buy the car?
No.
Okay, I was just wondering, you know, maybe, you know, maybe what you might want to do is drop the dealership. Is it, hey, this guy, we're a little nuts and might be something to keep. Of course, I don't know. Maybe the people that are running the dealership would think that would think that maybe they think the same way. I don't know. That's wild, though. It really is. Okay, now I don't want to talk about the dealership because it's not their fault, but that's wild.
The lies of the media that make it so that we don't even have fair elections. I mean, we're worried about all these other people voting, but they're also voting based on lies of what the Democrats will do for them. And
yeah, and not just little lies. And not just little lies, huge lies. That is very disconcerting. I would have thought that there would have been, you know, more reasonable minds there. Guess not. Thank you for that. Be well. And all right, stay out of the bathtub with the phone. It's 728.
Summer's winding down, but the savings are heating up at Kelly's Automotive Service. We're saying goodbye to summer with a deal you can't miss. Get a full synthetic oil change up to 6 quarts, plus a free air filter, including installation up to $35, a digital vehicle inspection, and a Rain-X windshield treatment. That's a $250 value for just $99. Most cars and light trucks. Get your car ready for the new season. Hurry in, the special is only here for September. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation.
Looking forward to hunting season? Good Guys Guns is your hunting headquarters. From rifles to shotguns, ammo, and magazines, Good Guys Guns has everything you need to make this a great season. Looking for a 10mm handgun to keep you safe in the woods? Good Guys Guns has those too. And for those of you south of the border, Good Guys Guns carries lead-free ammo to keep you legal. Don't forget to sign up for their next concealed handgun class on October 5th. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Good Guys Guns.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op. And remember, use the right tool for the job.
The Dirt Devil has a little plastic spout that folds down, and it'll go right into blossoms and get the bugs without damaging the blossoms.
I know they're not so high-powered because every time I try to use one on my truck's upholstery, it never gets any dirt out. But I bet it would get a bug.
It gets bugs. It's a real handy tool.
Catch the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning Encore at 9 on KMED.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
It's 7:30.
Something that I just can't seem to get off my mind, and it's this girl.
I need a turtles break.
Go too far. We're too young to have tied us.
I have a secret I was going to admit to you this morning. I know it's not the most important thing in the world, but my guilty musical pleasure is playing Turtles music from the 1960s. Not just the hits. I'm not just one of those guys that likes Happy Together, and that's it, and that's the only thing. I like them all. I love them all. It's some of the sunniest 1960s pop ever. And I just loved everything they did. Loved everything. I got to see if I can get Flo or Eddie. I don't know if they're both alive yet or still. I got to get them on the show at some point. Because that's my guilty pleasure. When the world just becomes too dark and too heavy, I'm on the way home and I'll throw on the phone and there's, you know, my Turtles albums and we'll just let them play, okay? Not just the hits. Not just the hits. Like them all. Let me go to Tom. Tom's in Talent. Well, good to have you here. Guilty pleasure or not. How you doing, Tom?
Doing fine. Yeah, about the debate tonight.
Yeah.
No, I've said that for some time that Trump is a Lancer of boils. He's brought the term deep state into common lexicon, and he has a knack for causing the opposition to expose their corruption, such as the FBI, the CIA, the Russian collusion, and so forth. And So it's going to, and he certainly elicited that same self-destructive by having the debate with Biden. It's going to be curious to see if the same thing happens with Kamala. And the other thing about the debate, this may be the first time that many people of the communist leftist persuasion will actually see Trump, because they're gonna turn on the debate to see their heroine in action.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. You know,
and
what I was going to interject here, I'll be really curious as to how serious, because you're right, Trump has brought the deep state lexicon. And when we talk about the deep state, really, you're speaking about the permanent administrative state, the sort of people
which took over the country in 63 with their murder of John F. Kennedy.
And has only metastasized further since those days.
Yeah,
all right. The people who, I mean, everyone in the EPA, everyone in the Forest Service, I know there are good people that are, you know, doing things and working the ranger jobs and stuff like that. But generally speaking, the policy people are unelected, and they're true believers, and they kind of like the treasurer in Josephine County that I was talking about with Mark DeYoung, you know, here a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. This is mine. And where I'm going to be really watching President Trump here is how serious he is, because in my opinion, I think J.D. Vance is much, much tougher on what needs to be done, because frankly, we're at this point where you just can't say, hey, I'm going to negotiate with the administrative state. The people within the administrative state need fired, and they need to be replaced with our type of people. That's all that can
really
be done, you know?
Yeah. And the way I look at it is the country right now, the problems that we're facing are systemic.
Yes.
And up to this time, people talk, oh, we need to put this patch here. Oh, we need to retract the power of the IRS here. We have a systemic problem with the monetary system, with the tax system, with the whole deep.
But it's not going to work by trying to work with the current people in it.
And I think this
is why the administrative state, the deep state, is fighting Trump so badly, because they realize that ultimately they have to be fired and replaced or eliminated in order to fix the problems that affect this country.
Right. And it's Trump and Vance are talking about addressing the problem from a system point of view. So that's really unique and different about them. And, yeah, I know Trump was – I have troubles with his personality and his showmanship and so forth and so on. But as a president, he did a lot of positive things for the country. And so as a president, I think he'll continue along that vein. A lot of people criticize him for not accomplishing more, but he's – I mean, the deep state is very powerful, as he found out.
Yeah, which means that you have to be just as powerful, and you're going to have to declare – thousands of current administrative apparatchiks as political appointees. What has to happen. They have to be declared political appointees, and then that, because just negotiating and trying to rein in the corruption and the what are you going to do with me, you know, kind of attitude. What are you going to do to me, you know, sort of attitude. The only thing that's going to fix it is that these people need to find other careers.
Yes, and also the policies above them and all the think tanks coming from the World Economic Forum on down, and the Council on Foreign Relations. These are think tanks that have basically dominated American domestic and foreign policy for decades, and they need to be thrown out on their behinds.
Yep. Thank you, Tom. Good call. It's 7:36. Josephine County Commissioner Bear Chigger joins me in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk fire mapping again. That is still stirring the imagination. Yikes. And, of course, that treasurer brouhaha I was discussing with Mark DeYoung a few minutes ago.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Deborah.
And this is our
7:38. Fred standing by. Fred, you're calling in with a pebble in your shoe, and it had to do with the salute with the vice president. Tell me about that. So I guess you must be a veteran, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I was in Vietnam. I was in a helicopter gunship there. But anyway, every time she gets on the helicopter or plane and gets off, it's the sloppiest salute I've ever seen in my life. And for somebody that thinks they have a potential to be the commander-in-chief of every branch of the service, I cannot believe somebody hasn't said something to her on the Democrat side, at least, you know.
Yeah, that they would take you and say, okay, take you to salute school, and this is the proper way of doing it, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, we actually, they had a class, had a salute, you know. And if she did that when she was in, if she was in the service and did that, she'd be down on the ground doing 20 or 30 push-ups, you know, right now.
Point now, to be though, does President Trump do it properly, or did he do it properly?
It is actually, now you mention it, is it proper?
Is you improper?
Know, is the way it's supposed to be.
So he does it properly, in other words, right?
Yes, all four fingers together straight with your thumb tucked in right up against them.
Okay. All right, so he's sticking with protocol. All right, Fred, duly noted. I appreciate you calling. You're welcome anytime, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
All right. Herman standing by. We'll talk with him next. I needed more turtles because the world has just been irritating to me. Outside chance for the Turtles. By the way, that was written by Warren Zevon, who, of course, was always a cynic. You know, knew him as writing the Werewolves of London back in the late 1970s, right? Remember that? Okay. Yeah, if you're as old as I am. 7:42, we have Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger. He even has a few years on me. Welcome back, Herman. Always good talking with you.
Oh, I can just picture you sitting there in your tie-dye T-shirt and your hookah pipe and listening to the Turtles.
Yeah, I can't help it, man. It's the Turtles are my happy place. Sunny 1960s pop. Not a care in the world. Where's the, you're right. Where's the roach clip, buddy? You know, that kind of thing. And by the way, I was too young for the roach clip. This is before my time. It's before my time. I was like 5 or 6 when those songs came out, but I liked them later on for whatever reason.
Well, you started early.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. That's why I'm in Oregon now, right? You know, roach clip heaven, I guess. But does anybody even know what a roach clip is these days, Herman? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, because
they'll have to Google it. They'll Google it. They'll
maybe so. Maybe so. Because you know, as a kid, though, we were always listening to Cheech and Chong comedy albums and 8-tracks and stuff like that. I'm now dating myself again. But let's talk about the interesting battles, the turf wars going on within Josephine County government. Wanted to touch in on this, and I had Mark DeYoung call. I guess is running for county treasurer against the incumbent, and there's been a brouhaha over the finance director of Josephine County and the treasurer, and as far as sharing of information. And I kind of want to get your take on this, though, because I guess you were a little surprised on how this has been going, too. Okay?
Well, I think what has happened is over the years we haven't done this. I don't know why. But so, you know, people resist change, and I think the treasurer took it as we're trying to do her job, and that's not it at all. What we're trying to do is we're auditing. Our new finance director is very good.
Who is the new finance director? Because that works for the county board, right?
Yes, that's Sandy Novak. Well, she's been at the job for 4 years.
Okay, Sandy Novak. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, and she's, you know, audits the you know, it's in the details, and how you find the details is the audits. And, you know, that's where we got upside down with Oregon State University when we started auditing their books. And so, you know, we're auditing everything now to make sure that we haven't missed anything. As you well know, it's a tight budget, money's tight, and we want to make sure we're doing things as efficient as possible. And, you know, if you rewind the tape, almost 4 years ago when I came into the commissioner's office, one of my goals was transparency. And I think at first the treasurer struggled when I told her, I said, Eve, it's not that big a deal. Everything you do in this office, I can get through a public records request. And I think she was kind of shocked that all of that stuff is public information. So I think we're getting there. I think she has I think she now understands, you know, we're not trying to do her job. She's still in charge. She's an elected official, and she's in charge of investing our money, okay? But we still have the ability to audit. We need to know how much money is in all the accounts, how it's being appropriated, when the checks are written, what checks, all of that. We're entitled to that, and our auditors, we hire auditors that are a third party. They have nothing to do with the county. They're third-party auditors. So that's just another set of eyes on the books.
Is one of the challenges that you're elected official and the treasurer is an elected official, I've been a big fan of having more elected people rather than everybody being appointed. But is this the downside? Because it's almost like you have dueling. Well, I'm an elected official, and I'm asking you to do this. Well, you're an elected official, and you can't tell me what to do. Is that kind of where we find ourselves? Like, I even look at the Jackson County, the surveyor and planner kind of brouhahas that we've had here, you know, in Jackson County.
At the end of the day, the Board of County Commissioners are in charge of the county and all the departments. We appropriate the money. For all the departments. Yeah.
So that's ultimately where county commissions hold the trump card, so to speak, right?
Right, right. And I think sometimes department heads don't like that, but that's how it works. At the end of the day, we're the elected official. We're the conduit between the people and their government. So we are it.
By the way, you had talked about a treasurer being in charge of where Josephine County's money is invested. So it's more than just checking accounts. What do counties invest in? I'm kind of curious. Do you know? Off the top of your head?
There's a statewide banking system. We also, there's other investment pools out there. There are some sideboards. There are some statutes telling us what we can and can't do. So, in other words, we can't take a bag of money and go to a casino and try to make more money with it. We can't do that.
You can't throw it into Bitcoin necessarily or something
right,
like that, right?
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and those sideboards have got a little more restrictive. Do you remember the old Enron?
Oh, yeah.
Case?
Oh, yeah. We remember Enron quite well. You betcha.
Yep. And so, you know, we're not, that's her job. Her job is to invest the money. Our job is to, you know, how much money's coming in and where is it going and how much are in our accounts and all of those things. And so she really struggled with the idea of just contact the banks, the other financial institutions, and when they send their monthly statement, they just courtesy copy one to the finance department. That's all we're asking.
And there you go. That seems pretty reasonable. That seems like a reasonable request, okay?
Well, she wanted to do it by the case, and we ask her and stuff like that what we need. And I said, no, and so it was getting to the point where the board was just going to go to the bank and the financial institutions and implement the courtesy copy, because we can. We have the authority to do that. So when she finally realized that, I think she backed down.
Okay. My concern, though, has been, and I've noticed this not just in Josephine County, you see almost everywhere in which, and for lack of a better term, it's like the inmates are in charge of the asylum. People have been around a long, long time, and they figure, hey, you know, you elected people don't run things. We're the ones that actually run things. And I'm wondering if that is the sort of feeling that we're kind of getting a lot, that's being attacked at the moment or under assault.
Well, you know, I think people, you know, it's just like it was kind of strange when we were doing the Oregon State Extension Service and we couldn't get all the financial documents. We had to go public records request, and actually Dwayne Yonker had to do it and pay for it, which is insane. I told Representative Yonker when he gets back up there this session, he needs to insist that he gets reimbursed. He's a state representative. And also Art Robinson requested, he's a state senator. You don't pay for public records requests at a state level when you're a senator or representative. That was insane, Bill.
Yeah. I think that we're going to be seeing, and I know what's going on. I think you look at the human side of this. Some people's rice bowls are likely going to be broken over the coming months. Would that be fair?
Yep.
That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, listen, everything that government does is open to the public. There's a few exceptions at the county level, like when we're handling personnel issues, or if we're handling real estate contracts, or if we're handling lawsuits, you know, where we're talking strategy and lawsuits and stuff like that. Those are things that are reserved for what we call executive session. But that's about it. It's pretty limited. And I really, since I've been a commissioner, I've watched the executive session. And then every once in a while, I'll see something in executive session. I'll say, no, it needs to be outside of the session. So, but other than that, everything is open to the public. You can do public records requests and get all this stuff if you want to.
That's what the late Andrew Angievsky was doing with his Open the Books organization. He passed away a couple of weeks ago. The organization's still working it, though. But that's like every dime, all the time, in real time or something like that. You know, openthebooks.com is what they were doing.
And I was actually communicating with him. Mm-hmm. About the Oregon State Extension Service, because I think the entire Extension Service needs to have their books opened. I mean, we just got a little peek, and what we saw we didn't like. I can imagine if you open them all up, and then he passed away, and I guess I need to come back and talk to the folks that are picking up the pieces after he sadly passed away.
Yeah, because he was doing great work. I talked with him off and on for years, and I thought, gee, what a great deal to make it easy to see what your local government, not just your big federal or state government, is doing, but what your local government is doing in real time. And I kind of like that, what he was going for, and the technology exists to do it.
I've managed the Fort Benoit Irrigation District west of Grants Pass for like 30 years, maybe more. I don't know. I lost count. It's a real small district. We actually got a letter from Open the Books wanting all of our financial information and everything. And I sent him a letter. I said, look, our budget's $54,000 a year. Do you really want to spend your time on this? And then I never heard from him again. But they actually did a public records request for the Fort Benoit Irrigation District. But they were doing it. They were doing it across this country. They were just randomly picking government agencies and auditing them.
Yeah, no one's getting rich on the Fort Benoit Irrigation District, though, right? At least I wouldn't think so.
Like I said, when I sent them that reply back, I never heard from them again.
Okay. Yeah, 54 grand, pretty small as it goes here. All right, so we'll kind of shift away from this. Hopefully, cooler heads will prevail in these turf wars here, Herman, okay? Next, I want to find out, though, where do you think that we as Southern Oregonians, this is not just a Josephine County, this is Jackson County, this is all of our southern counties here that are under attack, in my opinion, with Senate Bill 762. And I still don't think anything is really going to be reformed out of this until it's repealed. I don't think it's something that can be fixed. But how do you, as a county commissioner watching this, what do you think?
Well, I'm working very hard. In fact, I was on Zoom calls just about all day yesterday with all kinds of different people, including attorneys. And there's the map is so bad, Bill. It's embarrassingly bad. How many years Oregon State University has worked on this and it's that bad? I mean, look at the county line between Jackson and Klamath County. That line's about 12 miles long, and it's longer than that. But on one side is moderate, and on the other side is high. That's insane. That's not how topography and fuels work.
It's okay? Practically the same land. It's just got a...
It is the same land. So, you know, it's... And then let's talk about Josephine County, because I understand it. So all the properties that are kind of contiguous to the Rogue River, the Applegate River, and the Illinois Valley River are irrigated. They've been irrigated for years. And Oregon Department of Forestry has called this the Green Belt, mm-hmm. Okay? And there's tens of thousands of acres in this Green Belt. It does not have assessments, the Oregon Department of Forestry, because there is no fire danger. Hasn't for 100 years. And right now, today, September, high extreme fire rating, I could actually burn on my property, on my farm, because it's in the green belt. Now, most of it is in high. How does that happen?
I was talking with Bob Hart from Rogue River about this last week, and he watched a meeting that I think happened last Thursday, I think is when it was.
Right.
And he was saying that there was no fix here for irrigated land, or really not a lot of exception going on, if I recall the conversation correctly, and that you can have that green belt, and yet you're still called then high risk, which would seem to just be completely counter to any kind of common sense. But yet you found out from the other big meetings is that they're just running this through models. They're not really looking at the land. They're just running it through computer models, which is weird.
Right. But if I open up my behavior, you know, my fire. So as a fire behaviorist, you use models to model how a fire will move across the landscape. So if I opened up my computer model, I use Behave is the name of the program. Mm-hmm. And I modeled my property, there would be probably almost a zero probability of ignition.
Then how can the state, how can the Oregon State University run that same property through their models and come up with a high, rating?
Because you have a Gen Z guy that understands computers. And remember, when they did their presentation here in Grants Pass a week ago, when it was my turn to question the computer guy that was talking about all the modeling and his team and everything, and I asked him, how much wildland fire experience do you have? His answer was zero.
Then how can that person have any kind of ability to input proper information or even model the software correctly if you don't know how fire works?
And there's no verification. When you model fires, you have to go and verify, did I put the right ingredients? Let me give you an example, Bill. If I go out and I model a fuel type and topography and put in all the components, temperature and all that, and then I put in a 1 mile an hour wind component, when I push the button, I'm not going to get a fire that is spreading very fast, okay, or burning very fast.
Right.
But if I just change that one component and put in 20, I got a fire that you're never going to stop. So if you don't put the right ingredients into the fuel modeling, you're not going to get the right output. It's just that's why when we model fires to see how it's spreading across the landscape, you do all your field work, you bring it back, put all the ingredients into the computer, push the button, it's going to tell you what the fire is going to do, and then you take that information and you go back to the field and you look at the fire, and is the fire doing what the modeling says it's going to do? If it didn't, then you've got something wrong.
Well, it seems to me, though, is that this then has to go away, that nothing can fix this.
So I had a Zoom call with attorneys.
With who now?
Yesterday.
With an attorney?
With attorneys.
Okay.
And what we've come to the conclusion is we're going to have to wait for them to implement this. And then when people are started having damage, either insurance rates, or no insurance, or building restrictions, or anything like that, then they have standing, and we can start talking about litigation, class action litigation at that point.
But it's too premature to talk about litigation at the moment?
Yes, you got to have the damages first.
Boy, that's really something. Yeah. So yeah, wait until you can't afford to stay on your land, and then you can sue. Yee.
Yeah, but I think if this is gonna affect people as much as I think it's gonna affect people, you get 10,000 or more people in a class action lawsuit, and the governor's got a big problem.
Mm.
So,
Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearsugar, I think that's an interesting takeaway from that. Hey, Herman, may have a couple of questions for you before you go. Okay, let me
grab. Sure.
Yeah, hi, hello, line one. You're on with Herman. Did you want to talk with him? Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. So I live in rural Eagle Point. I have about 43 acres that I keep very well maintained because of fire. I don't want my place to burn down. How is it the state can let all their BLM land just grow up dead trees, but yet they want to come after me to make sure that my land is properly taken care of? I'm not understanding this whole deal.
Yeah, what would you say to that, Herman? Yeah, as a county.
Well, first of all, the fire map doesn't take into consideration any federal lands, and the federal lands make up almost half the state. I think it's 41%. I have to get my little cheat sheet here someplace. But so they have no authority over federal lands. Yeah, it's a joke. That is a joke.
But, of course, as you had mentioned before, though, Herman, by the way, thanks for the call from Eagle Point. What you had mentioned before, though, is that what this is really about is relieving the state general budget of firefighting costs and putting it on the people who live by the BLM land and the U.S. Forest Service land, right? That's really what's going on here, about shifting the money.
Well, yes, and to highlight my point is parallel with this conversation on the fire map, there's a working group right now that is working on how do we pay for fire. Isn't that coincidental?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's no coincidences in state government, that's for sure. Hi, this is Bill, KMED, KBXG. You're on with Herman. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, it's Wild Salmon.
Steve, go ahead. You got a quick question or take? Go ahead.
Well, you guys kind of covered it. I think when you're asking why are they doing this, it doesn't make any sense. It's because there's a hole in the budget somewhere, and they're trying to pass it on through to whoever they can, and they don't care how much it makes sense. They just want the money.
Yeah, well, they may want the money, but we want our property, and we want to be able to live here. So I guess, Herman, what, it's another year or so before the lawsuits start? Is that how long it's going to take for people to be hurt?
Well, let's see how this goes. So I had my first conversation with some folks from the governor's office yesterday. And so let's see where this goes, because I think two things need to happen. One, the science has to get corrected, and it has to be accurate, okay? That's just has to do it. And we probably, if Oregon State University can't accomplish this in 2 years and keeps making these mistakes, maybe it's time we find somebody else, because that's starting to show incompetence.
All right.
That's the first part. The second part is, Bill, the citizens have to have a process that if they believe they've been wrongly or wrongly categorized, that there's a simple, inexpensive process that they can follow to submit their case and to try to persuade and show why they shouldn't be high or why they shouldn't be moderate. There should be a reasonable way. Right now they have this administrative law judge. Well, that's going to take years and lots of money to go down that route. There needs to be a better way. Now, I submitted for my ranch in the 6 lots. I submitted the last go around the forms. I filled out all the forms of why my place shouldn't be moderate or high, and I never got a response from the state. And last week, when the Board of Forestry met, they never talked about all the comment letters they got from the citizens across the state. They didn't even bring it up in the meeting. So they're not listening to the citizens. And that's not right.
Not listening to the citizens seems to be something that the state of Oregon is doing very good at. And it's what bothers me about, we want comment on this. And it's, so it's like you do constructive comments and then nothing seems to be done with it. Right. It's just a matter of providing cover. Well, we took public input, but they never do anything with it. All right.
Yep. No, that's so I'm going to stay on this. Hopefully I can have a conversation with the governor's office and try to get this corrected. If not, I think there's a very good chance this winds up in the courts. And we won't see a resolve to this situation for years to come.
All right. Josephine County Commissioner Herman Berenchiger, appreciate your opinion on that. And thanks for the talk on all the rest of it, too, Herman. We'll see you next Tuesday. Okay?
Take care. Bye-bye.
5 minutes after 8, this is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Gold popping up above 2,500. Boy, it's been in that 25 to 2550 now for number. And, you know, you look at the chart and it's just been kind of a continual sort of little sawtoothing up and down. I think people are thinking that no matter whether it's Trump or whether it's Harris, maybe Harris gets us to Armageddon financially more quickly. But even with President Trump, if he was in charge, I don't know. You know, you look at so much of the contagion that is sort of baked in the country and the currency's financial cake. And that is what having physical gold and silver in your possession is all about, preserving wealth and capital. And you talk with Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street. You can stop by there today and talk with Mark and Andrea and all the wonderful people they have working for them. They understand these markets, and they're just honest and forthright and just the sort of people. Just let me tell you, they're the sort of people that you would want in your bunker. You know what I mean? We'll just kind of leave it at that. And it's local, no 800 lines. I mean, they do it right here in Southern Oregon, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. For that one, you call for get your appointment, 482-3715, okay? And their latest website, fortunereserve.com, fortunereserve.com, combining with various payment options and a name you can trust, too. But drop by the store today. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers, Ashland and Grants Pass, fortunereserve.com.
Hi, it's John at Wilburn's Weapons.